We have been talking since the new year on possessing the new land, and we've looked at Joshua and how they possessed the promised land, and also looked at our situation, knowing that we are going to possess a new land. And then I promised that I would give you some examples of courageous men who possessed new things, and we did that last week, is looking at Israel Putman. Today I want to look at a guy you're probably more familiar with, a man by the name of David Livingston. And his is a real message of determination. And so I want to talk about his life today and be encouraging and challenging to you to be a man or a woman of determination. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1 is my text this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord." Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples in your word and examples in history of men and women alike who were determined to do things for you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us that same kind of determination today. Lord, that you would speak to us today through your word and through the testimony of David Livingston. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One day when David Livingston was visiting sick tribal people in South Africa, ministering Christ in medicine, a member of the village came running and telling him that the lions were killing their cattle. Because lions never attacked in broad daylight, this was an omen of evil to the natives. Dr. Livingston assured the men that this was not an evil spirit, and that if there was any more trouble with the lions, he personally would deal with them. The next day, the lions returned, killing 9 sheep. David took 2 rifles, rounded up as many brave natives as he could find, and said, "Come, we will seek out the lions and either destroy them or drive them away." The natives headed out to the bush, encouraged by the white man's great guns. The hunters soon traced the lions to a small clump of undergrowth where they were devouring their recent kills. The natives formed a circle around the beast in the traditional African way of hunting and gradually closed in to spear them. Unfortunately, the natives lost their nerve, and when one of the lions charged, the natives broke their circle and allowed the lion to escape, to be followed a few seconds later by the flashing forms of his companions. Livingston, who was standing a little way down the hillside with a native, wanted to take shot at the escaping beasts, but he could not fire for fear of hitting the natives. He lowered his gun and sighed as he turned to his companions, saying, "Come on, Melbowee, let's go back to the village." Scarcely had the two of them turned to go down the hill when the terrifying roar of a lion sounded nearby. They stopped at once, bringing their guns into the ready position. "Steady, Bwana," cautioned Melbowee, pointing to a thick thorn bush. "Simba, he behind there. He wounded. No good. He mad." About 15 yards ahead of them, Livingston could see the tawny shape of the lion, partly concealed by the bush, black-tipped tail lashing in fury. Slowly, he raised his double-barrel shotgun, aimed it where he presumed the heart of the beast to be, then squeezed first the right and then the left trigger. For a brief moment, lion and bush were hidden from the doctor by the cloud of smoke from the gun. And at the same time, he heard the tribesmen rushing down the hillside screaming, "Simba, it is dead, it is dead." Livingston cautiously stepped back a little and began to reload his gun. "Don't rush in," he shouted to the natives. "He may not be dead." Then he turned again to pour more gunpowder down the muzzle. A sudden shout from the natives caused him to lift his head, and in that moment he saw the lion springing upon him. Down they went together, man and beast. I want to talk to you today about determination because David Livingston, to me, represents a man of greatest determination. And the first thing I would like to say to you today about determination is this. Determination is purposing to exert as much energy as needed to reach a goal. One Hebrew word translated determined is amar, which means to say in one's heart, to think, to command, to promise, to intend. Another biblical term helps to define determination is the verb purpose. One Hebrew word for purpose is yatsar, meaning predetermine. God used this word himself in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 11 when he said, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So if God purposes something, he's going to do it. If he purposes it, it's as good as done. Oswald Chambers said, when I say I can't, it means I won't. You see, determination is really the thing that is necessary that can turn anything into a possibility. Determination is like a bomber pilot once he has passed the point of no return, thereby cutting off all possibilities of retreat. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul had great determination when he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know that Paul was not going to turn back. This was the determination of his life, and that he would press toward that mark no matter what. Because for him, it was not only a high calling, it was the highest calling in life, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. John Wanamaker said, to have failed once is not so much a pity as it is to not try again. See, sometimes we fail and then we lose determination. But determination is, even if I did fail, I will try again, and I will try until I succeed. Second thing about determination is determination deals with a mindset prior to a task, while endurance involves the carrying out of that task. See, determination is ahead of time. I determine that I am going to do something, and then while I'm involved in the process of trying to do that, I also need endurance, that inward strength to accomplish what I have determined to do to carry out the task. For example, David determined to mourn over Abner's death with fasting until the evening. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 35 then, and when all the people came to cause David to eat while it was yet day, David swears, saying, so do God to me and more also if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. So what we have is David determined ahead of time that he was going to fast that day. And then in the middle of the day, some people came to him and tried to persuade him to have something to eat. And David said, no, I'm not going to eat. I have purposed. I have determined that I am going to fast today. And then what he needed was endurance to get him through the day. You know, there have been times when I said, I'm going to fast. I've determined that. You know, those are the days you really get hungry. I don't know why that is, but there are some days, you know, I'm not really that hungry. And I could eat or not eat. Wouldn't matter. But the days I decide I'm going to fast, all of a sudden, boy, am I hungry. My stomach's growling, and I just want to eat something. And I'm tempted to break that fast and give in to my flesh. And you know, there is endurance that is needed to carry you through to be able to do the thing that you have promised to do. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you how David Livingstone felt led by the Lord to become a missionary in Africa. If you haven't heard the story, I'll just real briefly give it to you. A man by the name of Dr. Robert Moffat came from China, from Africa, rather, to David Livingstone's home church. And when he got there, he looked out over his congregation and he saw only women. There was not a man, a boy in the attendance that night. And his text was, unto you, O men, I call. And he felt really strange because how could he preach this text to a group of women? But he decided that he would go ahead and he would give the message, thinking that perhaps God was going to raise up some prayer warriors among the women of that congregation. And afterwards, as he began to put away his notes, he was startled to look up and see a young boy there. And the boy had been sitting in the balcony and had gone unnoticed by David Livingstone all night long. And he came to him and he said, I've heard your message tonight and I want you to know that I feel that God is calling me to the mission field of Africa. And that was how David Livingston felt the call to go to Africa. And so he prepared for that. His first sermon was delivered in Edinburgh, and he excitedly invited Dr. Robert Moffat, the missionary, to hear him speak his first message. And as David began his sermon, he became increasingly agitated and fearful. He was a man of great intellect. He had a very sharp mind, but he just got into his message just a short way, and his mind went completely blank with fear. And he stood up there paralyzed. He just stopped. After what seemed like an eternity of silence, he said, friends, I have forgotten all that I have prepared. And he hung his head in embarrassment, and he came down from the pulpit. At that moment, Dr. Moffat kindly encouraged him to not give up. And he suggested that he could become a medical missionary. Well, that suggestion clicked in David's mind, and that thought helped a determined young man with a love for the Word of God and for the lost, ultimately to bring more glory to God. God gave David the desire of his heart as he became a missionary doctor. He wound up marrying Dr. Robert Moffat's daughter, and they had tremendous time on the mission field, exploring, using their medicine, and preaching the gospel to people in Africa. You know, I cannot imagine the determination that this man must have had as he first joined Dr. Moffat, and then yet he branched out into his own to reach tribes no white man had ever seen. Can you just imagine the determination and the endurance he must have had as he set out to fulfill God's call for his life? There are people in the Bible, lots of them, who determined to do things for God. Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. Daniel determined or purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. The disciples determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea. Paul determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Third thing about determination. Determination presupposes careful consideration of the cost and requirements of a task and a decision that the task is worth whatever expenses are necessary to achieve it. Once you have counted the cost, then that task is worth more than whatever it's going to cost you to get it done. Moses demonstrated determination when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. On the other hand, Esau did not determine to protect his birthright, and therefore he sold it for a bowl of pottage. Years later, when he realized his mistake, he desperately sought to recover his birthright, but he was unable to do so, even though he wept bitter tears. See, life consists of choices. If we make the right choices, we experience God's blessing on our life. If we make the wrong choices, we experience destruction and death. But after the wise choices are made, determination is necessary to carry them out. Wise choices will usually be challenged by difficulties and temptations. I want you to know that. You have to know that. You have to know that up front. Whenever you make a wise decision of serving God and you determine that you are going to serve God and you are going to carry out whatever purpose that is, then know that there will be difficulties and there will be temptations that would just want you to give up and quit. It'll happen. There's a number of things that come into play. One of the things is the fear of man. The fear of man will not allow us to make what is the best choice. What is the Lord's choice? Instead, you know, we try to guess what other people will think is the right choice. And we try to think, what will they think of us if I make this decision? And so many times we base our decisions on what other people might think. And then fear brings torment when you step out into a task and the circumstances become difficult. The temptation is to fear. But don't fear, because fear brings torment. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. That's why God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You see, fear causes us to act irrationally, to not do that which is best. But God has said, I don't give you a spirit of fear. I give you love. I give you a sound mind, not a mind of torment. The fear of man also brings a snare. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A double-minded man or a double mind is another hindrance to determination. The Bible says that a double-minded man is like the wave of the sea, driven forward and backward with every passing wind. That makes determination impossible. If I'm going to be swayed by what somebody says, or if I'm going to be swayed by the circumstances of my life, if I'm going to be double-minded, I'm just going to be back and forth, and I will not be able to accomplish anything. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, reaching a goal requires more than skill. It requires determination. Yes, you need the skill, but you also need the determination. That means rejecting distractions such as discouragement and doubt. And I really believe that failure is not due to the lack of talent or ability most of the time, but it is because of a lack of persistence during difficult times. We develop determination by recognizing the losses or the gains resulting from a particular choice. Moses was willing to suffer with the children of Israel because he recognized that the reproach of Christ brought greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And so what is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that you can be determined about? Begin to count the cost and begin to see that serving God is better than not serving Him in this area. And that can give you the determination you need to see it through. And then fourthly today, determination is looking at insurmountable obstacles as opportunities to cry out for God's supernatural intervention. Determination is looking at insurmountable obstacles as opportunities to cry out for God's supernatural intervention. That's a mouthful. But you know, usually when you determine to do something, you find out that it's impossible or at least difficult. Most of the things in life don't come easy. Most of the things that you try to do are going to be difficult, if not impossible. And fortunately for the Christian, we have a God that we can cry out to help us overcome any obstacle, because His power is limitless. Listen to what Hudson Taylor said. At first, the task looks difficult. Then it is impossible. Then it is done. Because God comes into play when things are impossible. He's the God of the impossible. Doesn't the scripture say that all things can be done through Christ who strengthens you? Doesn't the Bible say that with God all things are possible? Nothing is impossible with God? That's the truth of the matter. We begin to look at the situation and we say, nah, this is an impossibility. If it is an impossibility for you, it is an impossibility in your strength. But for God, it's not an impossibility. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. When God is about to do something great, He starts out with a difficulty. When God is about to do something truly magnificent, He starts out with an impossibility. Livingstone cautiously stepped back a little and began to reload his gun. "Don't rush in," he shouted to the natives. "The lion may not be dead." Then again, turned again to pour more gunpowder down the muzzle. A sudden shout from the natives caused him to lift his head, and in that moment he saw the lion springing upon him. Down they went together, man and beast. Growling furiously, the lion bit into Livingstone's shoulder and began to shake him as if he were nothing. The mighty hand of God was protecting David because a lion kills its prey by tremendous speed and weight of its body, flying through the air. The prey is usually dead before it hits the ground, never knowing what happened. Miraculously, David was still alive when he hit the ground, and providentially, the lion took hold of his arm rather than his head or his neck, the instinctive spot lions aim for in their initial attack. Mabelbe ran to within a few feet of the beast and pulled the trigger of his gun, but it misfired. And the lion, leaving Livingston, turned on his new foe and bit him in the leg. A second native whose life Livingston had saved some time earlier after he had been tossed by a buffalo ran in with his spear, but he too was attacked by the lion. A third native went to the assistance of the three wounded men, and at that moment the bullets that Livingston first shot took effect, and the lion dropped dead. For a long time, Livingston's life hung in the balance, and he suffered terribly, but he lived, and recorded that the lion was the largest ever killed in the district. The natives were glad to be rid of the evil spirits, and the natives all lived who had been injured by the lion. David Livingston married Mary Moffat, and they worked together, sharing the toils and privations of journeys into strange lands. They experienced drought, famine, hostility from natives and Dutch settlers, and together they opened up new lands and discovered new peoples. Much could be said of David Livingston, but we'll suffice it to say that he survived the attack of a lion, the dangers of wild and uncharted rivers, the danger of man-killing natives, forest fires, barren deserts, ill health, and mutinous natives, all while charting unknown territories of Africa. One of the crowning glories was exposing the horrors of the African slave trading and helping to bring an end to this wicked practice in England. David's life verses were these. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Those verses sum up the life of David Livingston. Not only were those his life verses, but those became verses in reality as he lived them out. My challenge to you today is to be a man, woman, young person, a child of determined will. The scripture text that we started this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1. "And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord." You know, we have a similar task: to build a house. To build a house of worship, to build a house of prayer, to build a house for the Lord. And we need to be as determined as Solomon was to see this happen. Determined to exert as much energy as is needed to reach our goal. And so I'm asking you today to make up your mind now, prior to the task, so that you will be able to see it through to the end. Decide the task is worth the expense. And when it looks like we're in the middle of a difficulty or even an impossibility, that we will remember at those times to cry out to God for His supernatural intervention. Because we will not be able to do it. It'll be an impossibility for us in our flesh. But thank God, with Him, all things are possible. Would you join me in being determined to build a house for the Lord? Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this morning? Maybe there is somebody here who has not asked Jesus Christ to come into their life to become their Savior. We look at a man today like a man like David Livingston, who risked his life time and time again to be able to get the message that Jesus saves to people who could not hear otherwise. If it wasn't for him, they would not hear. And so he risked his life. That's how important this message is. People today would risk their life to give you the message that Jesus can save you from your sins. And I believe with all my heart that there are people in this congregation that would die for you if necessary, if they knew that their death would cause you to receive Christ. They would do it. God loved you so much that He gave His Son to die for you. And so is there anybody here that would, by a raised hand, say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ today. I have not yet done so, but I want to ask Him into my heart to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me from my unrighteous deeds." Anybody? Christians, I want to challenge you to be people of determination. What is it that God is calling you to do? What is He asking of you? Could you purpose in your heart today that you will do it? That you will be determined? Realizing that there will be difficulties along the way, realizing that there may even be impossibilities as far as you are concerned. But you are determined that with God's help, you will succeed. How many would join me today in being people of determination? Could God see your hand? Amen. Amen. Lord, again, I want to thank you for people like David Livingston and people like Solomon and David and Daniel and Paul and Moses, who caught a vision of what you could do through their lives. And Lord, just because we fail does not mean that we have to give up. Because, Lord, we know that we are more than conquerors through you who loved us and gave yourself for us. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would give us the grace, those that raise their hands, asking, committing, to be determined, Lord, that you would give us the power, the willpower, and the ability to make it come to pass. We realize today, Lord, that your grace is a gift for us, and we accept that gift of grace today. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.